And grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Some very challenging lessons for us today from Scripture. They challenge especially our perceptions of who God is. One of the most interesting books I've ever read is a book called American Jesus, which I had to read for an independent study I did on how Jesus has been represented in movies. The book was all about how Jesus has been portrayed throughout American history, that he's this soft and gentle mama's boy on one side, and then on the other side he's a man's man. He's someone who could take down anything. He can do anything. So then the question as we reflect on all of this is, how are we viewing Jesus today? The problem is that we will mold and shape and adapt Jesus however we want him to look. He's a white man, he's a black man, but the truth is he's from the Middle East. He's for gay rights, he's against gay rights, but the reality is that he was deeply loving, but also called people out on their sins. Jesus is pro-gun, Jesus is anti-violence, but yet what we see of Jesus in Scripture is that he is a loving teacher who at times flipped tables when it was necessary. So the question is, who's Jesus? In our reading today, he is not who we normally picture him to be. We think of him as a peaceful and loving man, but here there is fire in his voice. He is using this passionate, vivid language to display how he feels. You know, we kind of have this picture of Jesus as a sort of like an Eastern monk who sits and patiently meditates. But the reality is that Jesus is God who has taken on human flesh to love and serve his creation. And he shows passionately his love today. He shows that in full force as he speaks to the people. But it's helpful, especially with these challenging readings, that we get some context first. And so beginning with Luke chapter 12, we see Jesus is surrounded by a crowd, surrounded by some Pharisees, and surrounded by his disciples. Luke specifically mentions that this crowd is huge. There are many thousands of people, and these many thousands of people are trampling over each other to see Jesus. Trampling's not loving language. It's violent language. People are getting hurt to come and see this Jesus. The news about him is traveling far and wide. And so Jesus takes this opportunity to reach out and teach these people. He says at first, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Jesus first and foremost is calling out the religious leaders who many people look up to for the examples of how to live and how to worship. But Jesus here is also setting up our lesson today and is really speaking more to the crowds than just to the Pharisees. Because there are plenty of hypocrites in this crowd too. Thousands of people who are gathered just to see Jesus because he's a popular or infamous figure, not because of the great changes and the great healing that he's bringing to this world. Jesus continues in this speech to these people, warning about spiritual death, saying, do not fear those who can kill the body. Fear those who can kill the soul. Moves on to let people know that whoever acknowledges Jesus before the world will themselves be acknowledged before God, and vice versa, whoever denies him will be denied. Jesus then teaches about money and anxiety, teaching the people to place their trust solely in God in heaven, who is in control of all things. And finally, he warns them to be ready for God, who will come without notice. But then Jesus launches into our reading today with one of the most difficult things for us to hear. He says, I have come to cast fire, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. This is not the normal, peaceful, loving language that we're used to hearing from Jesus. At least in our minds, this is not who we know Jesus to be. This is violent language. Fire on the earth. But as we consider this language, as we consider this teaching that he is bringing, let us consider where Jesus' focus is. His focus is not on the crowds, even though his love is sincerely there for them, else he wouldn't be teaching them. Jesus' eyes are fixed upon the cross. They are fixed upon what must be accomplished on the cross. The fire cast down on the earth, this other baptism, other than the one he already experienced in the Jordan, these things that he must go through and he must experience will happen for the death, for the forgiveness and salvation of all people as he experiences death and resurrection. But before that death comes the fiery wrath of God, which is poured out solely upon Jesus, so that we would not suffer for our sins. He willingly goes to the cross so that we would not suffer that wrath. And this baptism he goes through is not one of water, but one of the grave. His beaten, limp, lifeless body is taken down from the cross and placed in the tomb. But baptism is not just a burial, but more importantly, a rising. And our Easter joy is that Jesus rises from death to life. And it is with this death and resurrection that Jesus brings salvation, and he also brings division. Because the reality is that the ruler of many hearts in this world, including our own, is the evil of sin. And let's not deny the fact that we love being in our sin. We love it so much that we will adapt anything and everything to get permission to sin, to feel guiltless, to feel unashamed, even changing Scripture, even changing our God. Because the problem is that we're seeking to be justified before mankind. This is not a new problem. That's all that was happening in that reading from Jeremiah. As these prophets who are prophesying these foolish and other things that are just simply false because they are trying to seek approval of mankind. But Jesus, our great example, is not here to please people. He is not here for a good time. He is here to bring the truth and to bring glory to God. And in doing so, he is going to bring division. We cringe at hearing this language because it's so opposite of the picture of Jesus that we have in our minds. But by his very nature, Jesus and his entrance into this world is dividing and offensive. He's not here to make people smile or feel good. He's here to break us away from sin, to break us of these habits and these temptations that continually pull us into darkness. And he's even here to peel us away from that darkness. It is a purifying fire that he wishes to bring, to remove these impurities from us and leave us shining as pure gold. And that's an offensive thing. The forgiveness of God is there and it's ready and it's available for all people to forgive them for all sins. And that is hard for us to deal with. Because forgiveness is there for sins including things like pedophilia, murder, rape, anything that we might consider disgusting and unforgivable, God forgives. We think that they deserve to burn in hell, as many people have said about people who suffer from those sins. But God does not. God does not desire the death of the sinner. God desires to take their place, to remove their sins, to remove this awful thing from them, to leave them pure and holy and new, to make them his children. But yet, because of this offensiveness, because of this, how difficult this gospel is, families will be divided. Some of you might have even experienced this in your own families. Your child calls you a fool for believing. Your spouse thinks that you're just wasting your time by going to church. constantly the church is ridiculed for the faith. But Jesus, Jesus' work, Jesus' church, this church that we belong to, all of these things are not here to make people happy. We are here to change lives, to make people new, to give them the gospel, to bring them to their God who wants them to be perfect, and most importantly, to bring people from sin to life. Because what is happening is the world is passing away. We see our world groaning in pain. We see the destruction. We see sin just having its way with our world. And God hates that. And we as God's people hate that. God hates that sin has ruined his precious world and that sin has ruined his precious people. And thus, firstly, he gives us Christ to make us new. But secondly, there is an ultimate final day coming when all things will pass away. But yet, it is important for us who confess our hope in Christ to know that it is not in God's wrath that this day comes, but in God's liberation. He will come with great power to call the dead to rise to life, so that all the living will be gathered together before him, and all will live together with him. It is a time where sin is gone, where death is no more, where the tears are dried up. And this is our hope. This is our expectation. But we must always remember that these things have not, do not, and will not come easy. It is through strife and tribulation that these things will come. But take heart and do not fear, brothers and sisters, because you know of the love of God. How God dearly loves you, how he has taken your place in death and given you life, how he has forgiven you all of your sins, how he constantly forgives you all of your sins, even when you constantly fail. You have a God who knows you by name, who knows every hair on your head, who knows your joys, who knows your sorrows. And even in this division that God has brought, it is to bring salvation to the world. It is for your benefit, and it is for your life eternal. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.